verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Look at verse 11, if you would. Look at those first words. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Would we ask the Lord to help us as we look at his word? Lord, this morning as we look into your word, will you impact us in a very powerful way? Lord, we're not here just to waste time. We're here to hear from you. We're here gathered together on a Sunday morning intentionally. And Lord, I pray that as we look to you, as you promised, he that believeth in me shall not be ashamed. And Lord, we don't want to be ashamed this morning as we look to you for something that you have for us. And so, Lord, give us what we need this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be just very present with us even right now. Be with my lips, be with all of our hearts. And Lord, may we be in tune to what you're saying. Please, Lord, help us. And right now we ask in Jesus' name, amen. If you would again look at verse 8, just kind of get an idea here. We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. He's basically saying this. We don't want you to be oblivious to how hard it's been for us, what happened to us in Asia. We were pressed above measure, insomuch that we despaired even of life. You ever kind of despaired of life? A really difficult time that you're going through, and you kind of wonder, am I going to make it through this? Is this going to be the end? They were pressed above measure. They despaired even of life. Now, if you remember what the Apostle Paul would go through, the Apostle Paul just preaching the gospel with his whole heart, serving the Lord with his whole heart, and people didn't like it. Fancy that. Now, in America, we don't experience this as much as other parts of the world because people tend to be more friendly to the gospel because of a Christian nation, Christian background. The gospel has been here in America for years and years. It's kind of moving away from that in some ways, but people are generally kind to the gospel. At least they don't kill you for it. Well, Paul the Apostle, he literally faced being killed for it. He was stoned, left as dead. Thank the Lord. The Lord gave him more life. I don't exactly know what happened there. He evidently went to heaven, came back, something like that. But he looked like he was dead, but God gave him more life. He goes through the things that happened to him, just horrible tortures and beatings and things that he went through. You can understand why he said, we were pressed above measure in so much that we despaired even of life. Didn't think we were going to make it. But then if you look at the following verses in verse 9, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Yeah, we thought we were going to die. But that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He experienced the great deliverance, physical, true deliverance. I mean, practical deliverance where he thought he was dead and God raised him up. He had experienced that. That was very real to him. Maybe some of you know of a story of you experienced that yourself where God raised you up from something. Supernatural, you know God did it. Well, Paul knew it. God did it. And he's going to deliver us. He's going to continue delivering us. Hey, Corinthians, we're still preaching the gospel to people. We're still going from city to city. It's kind of hard sometimes. But God's delivering us, and I believe he's going to yet deliver us in the future as we face difficult times. And then look, if you would, at verse 11. Very encouraging verse here. He says, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He's delivered us from so great a death. Verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us. The Apostle Paul is very interesting. The way he wrote letters and said things, it's kind of like he just slipped it in there, you know? The book of Philemon, if you read Philemon, he has this personal letter to Philemon, and it's like the art of diplomacy coming through his writing. You know what diplomacy is, right? It's letting someone else do what you want. That's what diplomacy is. But Paul the Apostle was a master of diplomacy, and he just slipped things in there. But he's saying this here. He's talking about, you know, God's going to yet deliver us. You know, you also praying for us. If you think about it, pray for us. But you know what? That tells us something this morning. very difficult circumstances, very impossible situation that Paul the Apostle experienced it. But he said, I think God's going to deliver us. And in fact, I'm confident God will deliver us. You also helping together by prayer for us. I want to make the simple point in this message. Prayer helps. Prayer helps. And there's some impossible situation that you no doubt are facing right now or that you know about. Let me tell you this morning, prayer helps. We serve a God who is all-powerful, and he's given us a wonderful tool, a wonderful gift, and that's prayer. Prayer helps. Maybe some of you know what I mean by life hacks. You know, sometimes you learn life hacks, just tricks of the trade, sometimes they say. Now, when it comes to trade, I don't really know much about that. I was on a roof one time with my grandfather. He's real handy. And he told me, don't quit your day job. So whatever that means. But I have learned some other life hacks. For instance, evangelist Chris Miller, and he'll be speaking throughout this week at the Crusade. I learned a life hack from him, and that was to drink a 16-ounce water bottle in the morning every day. You know, that's a great, it just kind of gives you a kickstart. Keeps you hydrated, gives you a start. He taught that. It's not just about my marriage. I have to think about time. It was maybe 4 or 5 years ago that he taught that in a class, evangelism class, and it just stuck with me. And so I've been kind of doing that water bottle basically every day since then, probably. Trying to drink a water bottle every morning. Just a good thing. You ever heard that if you're a side sleeper, if you put a pillow between your knees, it just feels really good? Maybe some of you are like, yeah, I've been doing that my whole life. But hey, I heard about that one time. Now, I'm not a side sleeper, so it doesn't help me much. But I guess it's something that helps some people. There's a product called 303, and it's a preservative, like for rubber and leather. Any of you ever heard of that, 303? You have heard of 303? Okay, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but somebody told me about 303, and I think they even sent me some videos. They gave me some videos literally on a DVD, videos, like not the link from YouTube, on a DVD, you know. I'll just say, yeah, he's the age to be old school, you know. And so he gave me that, and just one of those things. You can spray it on your serpentine belt. You can spray it on your tires. You can spray it on your Bible cover. You know, just it's a preservative. Just it makes your life, you know, 1,000 times better. And you don't have to buy anything again. It just preserves it, you know. One of those hacks, one of those too good to be true. Probably is too good to be true. But anyway, some good stuff. You know, we think about these things that help. Sometimes if you're complaining about something, you're telling a good friend, they'll have a suggestion for you, you know. Man, I don't know what to do about, hey, I know this guy, this is what he did. And they know how to help. You know, more than anything else, though, we need to learn how to pray because prayer helps. Prayer helps. And it's not just a cute saying. It's not just a thing we could put on a plaque and put on our wall. It's not just something we could kind of, you know, say nicely to each other. Prayer really helps. God really works when we pray. Prayer helps the preacher's sermon. You know, I need you to pray. Sometimes I've been in church and my pastor's preaching, and I don't know if you ever had this where it's just like, he's struggling today. He's struggling today. You know what that means? You need to pray for him. Right then, right there. You need to pray for him. Lord, give our pastor your help. He needs your help preaching right now. You know, I think God hears those prayers in the middle of a sermon, can turn that sermon around, and God helps that man, and he preaches the word with freedom. Sometimes as a preacher, there's not freedom. And you need God to break through, and God can break through when you notice in the congregation you pray. Prayer helps the teacher's lesson, same way. Prayer helps the hearer's hearts. Teachers, you can pray. Prayer is important for your child's salvation. For the Lord bringing somebody back, maybe a child back to him. Prayer is important for having God's wisdom, for guidance in conversation with your spouse or others. Ever been in a conversation, you're like, I don't know what to say next. I think I've said it all, and I don't know what to say next. Prayer helps. Prayer helps with your struggles, whatever your struggle is. And if I could ask you, what is the thing you struggle with the most today? And you identified that. Let me tell you, prayer helps that. Prayer will help with that. Prayer helps your devotion life. Prayer helps with your siblings, with your family relationships, with the relational struggles. Prayer helps. Prayer helps with your summer vacation planning. Prayer helps with your job situation. Prayer helps with your boss. Prayer helps with your employees.
Prayer helps your nation, your community. Prayer does help in the elections. No, it doesn't. Trump lost. Yeah, actually, prayer helps. Sometimes we can be discouraged about things. Prayer helps, actually. God does hear. Prayer helps. Can I encourage you this morning, if you stop praying, to start praying again? Because prayer helps. In Ephesians chapter 6, we talk about the spiritual armor and the armor of God, and there are different aspects that we focus on. And through the armor of God, you have the girding your loins with truth, and we think about the Word of God and having God's Word in our life, and it's important, it's excellent. The breastplate of righteousness, you know, protects your heart to be right with God and to stay right with God. We talk about the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's just kind of having that gospel tract in your pocket, you know, and the shield of faith to protect from the fiery darts of the wicked, just trusting God, having that faith in God, what God says is true, and my confidence is in Him. We talk about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then the last part of the armor, praying always with all prayer and supplication and watching thereunto, with all perseverance for all saints. Have you ever noticed that at the end of the armor of God, where it talks about prayer, it gives a lot of explanation. Praying always with all prayer and supplication and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints and for me, Paul says. Pray for me too. Prayer is extremely important. See, prayer is that long-range missile. It's good to have a sword when someone's real close to you, right? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When the devil gets real close, it's good to have a sword, right? Probably didn't do that right. I'm more comfortable with a gun, you know, sword, I don't know. But they were good with it back in the day. They used that sword. But what do you do when the enemy's far away? Now we understand missiles and rockets, long-range rifles. Spiritually, we need that too. And prayer is that long-range weapon. You know, you can pray for somebody across the world, and it helps. Prayer is God moving. Charles Spurgeon said this, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscles of omnipotence. Isn't that good? You and I can get in touch with an almighty God that has all power, and we can ask Him about things, and He does something about it. That's amazing. Prayer helps. If you would go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we'll talk about prayer specifically. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'll start reading. Verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Okay, we see here the types of praying in verse 1. We see supplications. Supplications is the idea of pleading. It's an earnestness. It's God, will you please work? It's kind of like a kid wanting an ice cream cone. Hey, can I get an ice cream cone? And dad says, yeah, in just a minute. That means no in English. Right? Just a minute. And the kid says, daddy, can I have an ice cream cone? Please, can I have an ice cream? Please, can I have an ice cream cone? You know, kids are good at this. They plead. They, please, please. And finally, dad says, okay, I'll get you one later. You know, that is in a kid's mind. Translate that. No, unless he remembers. He's going to forget, you know. Daddy, please, can I have an ice cream cone? Please, please. Fine, get in the truck. We're going to get an ice cream cone, you know. And you drive to town and get an ice cream cone. That's pleading. It's that earnestness. It's supplication. And God says, I want you, first of all, to pray with supplication, some earnestness. You know what earnestness does, and it's good to think about this. Why does God need us to pray? I mean, God knows everything, doesn't He? So why does He need us to pray? Well, I'll tell you this. Prayer is not so much that God knows what's going on, but prayer is me focusing my faith, my trust in God, and God always responds to faith. He says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You know what it means to acknowledge someone. Someone walks in the door. Hey, how you doing? You're acknowledging them. And God says, in every way, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your paths. When you and I learn to bring everything to God, God will direct everything in our life. So that's why we pray. And supplication is pleading with God. It's an earnestness.
And it's really telling God, God, I'm still here, and I'm still trusting in you. Now, let me ask you a question. Does God always answer our prayers the way we want it, the time that we want it? Does he? No. Now, it's probably good. You know, sometimes my kids ask me for things, and they're all young, so they're pretty smart kids, but they don't know everything yet. When they're 15, they'll know everything, but they don't know everything yet. I was 15 once. If any of you in here are 15, I was 15 once. And so, of course, I knew everything. So sometimes my kids want something, and I don't think it's the best idea to give them what they want when they want it. For instance, let me check my pocket. I have my pocket knife in my pocket. I was letting my son hold that earlier today, and he wants to open it. Now, he's 3, and he's pretty athletic. You know, he's good at the basketball and everything, but I don't know what he would do with a knife. I want him to keep it closed, and so I instruct him to keep it closed. You know, sometimes a kid, though, will, you know, I'm a big kid. I'm 3 now. I'm not 2. Let me open this knife up. Let me cut this with it. Let me cut this with, you know, like, hey, not away, you know, away from yourself. And there's some things that people aren't ready for, and as parents, we understand that. No, I'm not going to give them what they want. They can't handle that yet. You know, God's our Father, understanding. We sometimes think we know what's best for ourselves, but we really don't. We really don't. We come to God, we ask him, and we ask him with earnestness, and we ask him pleading, and we ask him to do certain things at a certain time. And you know, sometimes God does, because it's in line with what's best for us. Sometimes he doesn't, because he knows what's best for us. And so we just have to trust him on that. But it does say to come with supplication, earnestness. Look, if you would, at that verse again, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, supplications, prayers. Prayers are just simply requests for help. Lord, I can't find my pencil. Oh, it's behind my ear. Thanks, Lord. You know, Lord, I lost my phone. Any of you ever been there? Lost my phone. It's just a simple request for help. You know, last somebody yanks out in front of you and you're like, Lord, help me. You know, one of those just, oh man, thank you, Lord. God wants us to pray. Just simple requests for help. God, help me. And then he says intercessions. Intercession is a conversation or a meeting with God. Probably you know what I mean when I say a conversation with God. Abraham had it with God regarding Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, and God was going to destroy Sodom. He was going to destroy Gomorrah. Abraham had a conversation with God. Hey, God, if you find 40 people there, would you spare the city just for 40 righteous people there? God says, yes. How about, oh, I guess he started with 50, 40, 30. Went down to 10. God, 10, would you? And they're kind of talking back and forth, kind of asking God, will you do this? And he gives confidence from God. Yeah, God's answering that. Lord, what about this? Yeah, yeah. Now we know the end of the story. There weren't enough, and Lot was sent out. God did honor Abraham. But sometimes you and I will have these conversations with God. Sometimes you just get before God. Maybe you're sitting in your car on break from work, or you're just, you know, at home in the evening, and you're just burdened, maybe in the morning, just burdened. And you have a conversation with God, and you just spill your guts to God, so to speak. And you just tell God, God, this is what's going on. God, I really, you know, God says, yeah, do that. Do that. Intercessions. Lord, so-and-so, they just really need your work. This is what they're doing, and this is what's best for them. I know, because your word says it, but they don't. It's just conversation with God. And then he says, lastly, in giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, that's kind of hard sometimes. Lord, thank you for my boss. That can be tough. Lord, thank you for this employee. Thank you that he showed up the third day at least, you know. Giving a thanks made for all men. Again, that's a focusing of our trust and faith in God is big. God's in charge. God, I'm just going to thank you even though it doesn't always make sense. Giving a thanks made for all men. It says for kings, for all that are in authority, etc. Look at verse 8 if you would and talk specifically about... I missed something here. Let's look at verse 2 first, just the reasons for praying. He says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is the reasons for praying. The reasons for praying is a life of peace depends upon it. Pray because a life of peace will depend upon it. Pray so that you can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Pray for Indiana lawmakers. Pray for Indiana's governor. Pray for the president and vice president of the United States. Doesn't matter if you agree or not. Pray for them. Pray for our congressmen, our senators, because a life of peace depends upon it. He says specifically, pray for those that are in authority because your prayer helps. Yeah, but they don't love God. They're not. Your prayer helps. God knows who they are and what's going on, and God will work when you pray. So pray, because the life of peace depends upon it. And then lastly, if we look at verse 8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now in this passage here, we're specifically talking about men, the male gender, praying. If you look at verse 9, it says, in like manner also that women, and then it talks about their adorning. We're talking about, in verse 8, men. God wants men to pray. Now, this doesn't mean, ladies, you don't pray. But specifically, God wants men to pray. You know, men, sometimes we're bad at praying. Men, we like to fix things. Fix anything. Give me a roll of duct tape, right? I think my mom, when she was a girl, she was just devastated when she found out her dad couldn't fix, I think it was a doll that she had. Because he could fix anything. Dad can fix anything. You know, he can fix a lawnmower, he can fix a house, he can fix a car, he can fix anything. Couldn't fix her doll, or whatever it was, maybe a necklace. But men, we like to fix things. You know, have a conversation with our wife, and she's tell us about things. And, you know, men's minds work like this. Ladies, if you're talking to your husband, or even another man, their minds immediately go into fix-it mode. Right, guys? So if my wife is telling me about the kids that weren't being good that day, you know, the schedules, for me, it's like, chug-a-chug-a-chug-a, how can I fix this? All right, how can I fix it? How can I fix the kids? How can I fix the schedule? How can I fix this? You know, and actually with schedule, probably not. I'm a little too flexible on my schedule. She would fix the schedule. But how can I fix this and change this? Men, we like to fix things. Let's fix it. Sometimes ladies are, I don't want you to fix it. I want you to just listen to me, right? Just listen for once. Men, we like to fix things. You know, there's some things, men, we can't fix. Some things we can't fix. God says, I will that men pray. Men, you need to lead your church in prayer. You need to hold up your pastor in prayer. You need to pray in your family. I understand sometimes, men, it can be intimidating just to pray in front of family, kids, wife, parents. It can be intimidating. Say the right words, you know. Pastor's so good at praying. Maybe not quite as good at praying, or whatever. You know, we can think these things. You know, it doesn't matter what your words are like. Just talk to God. Just talk to God. And talk to God in front of people. God says, I want you men to pray. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Men, pray. You know, men, when you pray right, it will encourage everyone else to pray right. Men, you need to pray. Not just try to fix things, but men, pray. Now, ladies, you need to pray too. There are verses all throughout the Bible that pray, but men, evidently God wants to specifically say, men, you need to pray. But then he says how to pray. And simply in this verse, verse 8, he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. First of all, pray freely. Pray freely. You ever felt like your prayers were just kind of hitting the ceiling? You pray and you wonder, is God even listening? You know, sometimes when we think, is God even listening? God really is. And then sometimes we pray, is God listening? Truth is, he's kind of not. He's kind of not. He says here, pray lifting up holy hands. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says this, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Sometimes we give place to the devil. We know the verse, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I'm holding some sin in my heart, God will not listen. He says your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Hid his face from you that he will not hear. God loves to listen to us pray unless we're holding something between us and him. God, I like this sin. Or God, I had to do it. I just had to. And that's when God says, I'm sorry, son, but I can't listen to you right now. It's kind of like when a teenager trashes their dad and mom, horrible spat, and they say, hey, can I have $100 and can I use the car? No. You can't have $100 or use the car. We got something to fix first, right? Now, when it's fixed, yes, you can have $100 and you can use the car. Now, sometimes. I know kids, it doesn't really happen like that. But But things can be repaired. And then there's a relationship, and then we can go forward. But not till it's fixed. God is the same way. Son, I'd love to bless you. I really want to bless you, but there's something wrong. And we need to get it fixed. Sometimes we give place to the devil in anger, like Ephesians 4 talks about. You know when you're pushing on a door, like a bedroom door, maybe as kids, they push back and forth. Someone's trying to get in. Someone's trying to keep the door closed. Push back and forth, you know. If you get your foot in the door, the game's kind of over, unless you have bare feet. But if you have your foot in the door and you got a good boot on or a good strong shoe, game over. Try to get the door closed now. You know all Satan needs is a foot in the door in our life? And he can make a whole bunch of mess, and God won't be listening to our prayers. That's why he says, deal with the wrath. Sin can be a hindrance. Wrath can be a hindrance. Anger. Don't raise your hand, but I want you to answer this question in your own heart and mind. Do you get angry easily? And then do you deal with that anger? Or do you just kind of let it simmer down on its own? God says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That is, take care of it. Sometimes you need to say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it like that. Got a little hot there. Sorry, Lord. Sorry. Shouldn't have done that. Help me not to. Clears up the wrath. Sometimes we have quiet wrath where it's just internal. We call it unforgiveness, bitterness. Interesting passage here in Mark 11 where he's just said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. You shall have them. An amazing promise. And then he says, shortly thereafter, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, does that mean if I won't forgive someone that I'm not forgiven, I can't go to heaven? No, it's not teaching that at all. Once you've placed your faith in Christ, you're sealed till the day of redemption. You're not going to lose that. But the truth is that if you hold something against someone else, when you come to God, God looks at you and say, no, I can't talk to you right now. You're holding something against that person. You got to deal with that, and then we can talk. So let me just ask you, and I'm not looking, just answering your heart. Do you have anything against anyone else? Anything that's not been dealt with? God says, deal with the wrath. Lifting up holy hands without wrath. Deal with the hindrances, pride, authority issues with pastors, parents, police, teachers, whatever. Laziness, any number of things. Deal with it. Lying. So pray freely. Secondly, pray specifically. What if you went to a restaurant after church today and you went up to the counter and said, hey, what can we get you? Just some food. Just some food would be great, man. Just some good grub. Good grub. Yeah, we got plenty of that here. What would you like? You got one through ten. You can just pick a meal or get just an entree. Man, just give me some food. Just give me some food. It would be kind of ridiculous, right? It's like, okay, let's. But sometimes we come to God, Lord, bless me, Lord. Just do something. And God can hear those prayers. God's a good God, and he can translate our prayers. But God wants us to pray specifically. God wants us just to get right at it. What do you need? What do you need, son? If you ask God for something specific, he'll give it to you. Jesus said, if a child asks a father for bread, will he give him a stone? No. If a kid asks their dad for some food, sure, I'll give him some food. My son loves chocolate milk. Guess what I give him? Chocolate milk. It's probably rotting his teeth out. But he gets chocolate milk anyways. And your father, when you ask him something specific, he wants to answer it. So ask God specifically. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. Modern English means don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything. That's very specific. In everything, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray specifically. My daughter prayed for a blue truck. Literally, a blue truck. Right, Becca? Yeah, you prayed for a blue truck. Did you get a blue truck? Yeah, she did. She got a blue truck. Blue Chevy Silverado. Now we sold it because we're having another child. But we had a blue truck for a while. And I was being spiritual father, teaching her, you know, if God wants us to have a gray truck, that's okay, you know, gray truck. I even looked at the gray truck. Didn't buy it. What did God open up for us? Facebook Marketplace, that's our budget, you know, popped up a blue Chevy Silverado. The people were Christians, sold it to us for a huge chunk less than they were had it up for. It was a great truck, like no problems, basically, other than putting brakes on the thing sometime when we had it. God gave us a wonderful truck, and it was blue. You know, God answers specific prayers, even of a child. Will you pray to God specifically? Pray freely, pray specifically, and we'll end with this. Pray expectantly. In verse 8, he says, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. God wants you and me, he wants us to pray without doubting. It's very easy to doubt because we don't always see what God sees. It's very easy to doubt. But God says, I want you to pray everywhere, about everything, without doubting. When the early church prayed for boldness in Acts 4:31, they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. God, will you give us boldness? Guess what he did? He gave them boldness. And when you come before God and you pray specifically about something, you can trust that God's going to answer it. Unless for some reason God knows it's not time or it's not for you. And just trust God with that. But otherwise, you can expect God's going to answer my prayer. If I'm clean before God, God will answer my prayer. Pray expectantly, without doubting. Peter's deliverance in Acts 12, the early church was praying for Peter to be delivered from prison. And here comes Peter. Remember, Rhoda comes to the door. And she just leaves him there and runs back inside. She's probably like, you won't believe this. God answered our prayer. You know, sometimes we're like that, right? Seriously, God answered our prayer? Yeah, that's what he does. God likes to answer our prayers. So pray with expectancy. God's going to answer. Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Matthew 13:58 has to be one of the saddest verses in the Bible. When Jesus, it said of Jesus, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Hey, this morning, prayer helps. Prayer helps. Will you this morning tell the Lord, God, I haven't been doing so great in my prayer, but this morning I'll take the challenge from you, God, and I'll start praying again. Some of you are praying, and you've been praying for years about something. Don't stop praying. Make sure you're clean. Make sure you're all clean. Nothing. Nothing between. All clean. Pray specifically and expect God to answer you. Lord, this morning, will you please encourage us in our prayers? We're looking toward a crusade, Lord. But Lord, I'm sure there's many other